Let's pray. Well, we begin a new series today. It's called Walls Fall Down. I hope you have a copy of this book. If not, on your way out, grab a copy. And we're going to talk about being overcomers over the next 7 weeks. But let's bow in prayer and ask God to help us, whatever those struggles are, whatever those walls are in your life, to help you to deal with it, to help you to be an overcomer. One of the men came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I believe, just help my unbelief." And maybe you just need some faith today. And just ask God for that faith and strength. All right, let's bow our heads and you talk to God as I pray out loud. Dear Father, we all have struggles in our life. And some have really big struggles. And this morning, I ask that you would intercede, that you would do something incredible. Lord, we look to you for answers. As someone prayed earlier, dear Heavenly Father, we praise you today, not only for who you are, that's great, not only for what you've done, that's phenomenal, but what you are about to do through us and for us. Father, grant us faith in our times of weakness. May we be like those testimonies that we heard a few minutes ago. But not just look back at your victories, but to be able to look ahead. God, whatever the challenges, we know that you are greater. And we look to you for answers this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like, you can turn to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to begin our study on Walls Fall Down. And this morning, we're going to talk about looking at the one that has the power, has the solutions, has the answers, and looking beyond ourselves at the problems that we have. And as we do that, the walls begin to shrink. When we see God as who He is, we can really see those problems and difficulties as they are. The other day, I went out in the backyard. Nobody was home, so I was took the dogs out, and they went over to a field next door, and I just walked over there, and I'd been busy preparing for the sermon today, and I walked out over in the field, and I said, boy, that field is really big. I mean, this is an awesome field here. And then the weather was somewhat nice, and I just looked up in the sky, and I even laid down in the field for a minute and just began to look at the sky, and I was like, wow. Look how vast the sky is. Man, awesome. How beautiful it really is. And it just kind of took me out of my element for who I am and just this little place in the world and saw how big this world is around us. I remember 25 years ago when we started this church and just the optimism, the excitement. I really had confidence that I believed this was God's calling for my life and believed God was going to use me as a leader, and I was excited about people from the community coming in and us doing a great work and seeing our church grow. And when we moved here, we had found out we were expecting our first child, and so we were excited about our family, and just we were living so optimistically. And today we're still very optimistic as a family, but the reality is that through trials, through circumstances, it's easy to become pessimistic, isn't it? It's easy to become cynical, to allow sarcasm to want to take over and the negatives of life to cause us a different perspective. Instead of seeing the greatness of God, we see the problems of this world. I do a marriage for a young couple, and I see the excitement that they have for each other and the joy on their face, the anticipation, the expectation that they have that they're going to love each other. And, you know, Valentine's just a few days away, and how great that day is going to be. And he's expecting her to have a beautiful dinner at home, and she's expecting him to have a nice dinner out somewhere. And, you know, sometimes conflicts take place like that, right? And what's the reality that goes on? I pray for families as they have a baby, and that beautiful baby enters this world, and they're just perfect. This young couple is able to produce another eternal soul, and they're so excited about that child. I think of couples that retire, and they're excited about that time of retirement, and one couple retired planning on traveling, and the husband has a heart attack and dies a few months after retirement. You think, that's life, isn't it? And life can just be very difficult. Those walls that come up in our life, we feel like we're at the end of our rope, or we can't take it anymore. Sometimes we say, I feel like I've hit the wall. The wall is there. What am I going to do now? How am I going to deal with these circumstances in life? You know, the optimism of life may not remain at the same level when we see some realities, but God doesn't want us to view this life in the negative. As difficult as it is, and as difficult as it was or even may be again, God wants to give us hope in helpless situations. God wants us to look at His abilities and look beyond ourselves if we can see beyond our own problems. Instead of being overwhelmed, we can overcome. Instead of focusing on fear, we can have faith. Instead of hopeless, we can be hopeful. Instead of our wills feeling discouraged, we can have walls falling down in our life. And I really believe that God can bring about changes in our life, those struggles, those issues, those problems. What is it in your life where you have struggles today? Maybe it's finances, as we heard in the drama a few minutes ago, relationships, your marriage, your children, an addiction, the circumstances, your career. Maybe there's a spiritual battle going on in your life right now. Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to explore Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to look at seven keys or seven different strategies to help us to be overcomers. So we can learn these truths to help us to move ahead no matter what the trials, the struggles, and the problems of life are. If we can focus on God's power and not our problems, we can have the right perspective. We can look to God for the answers and not ourselves. We can get up in the morning believing that God has better days ahead for us. And He doesn't always change the circumstances, but He certainly does want to change us. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why can I do it? Is it because I can pick myself up by my bootstraps because of my strength and my ability? No, only through Christ. And if we rely on society around us or the power within us, in and of ourselves, we're going to fail. But if we can look to God for the answers of life, we can truly succeed because it's He that strengthens us. Shrinking the walls in our life means we've got to stop looking at it from our own physical perspective and see it from a spiritual perspective, a new vision that God wants us to understand, wants us to portray in life. Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understandings. You see, when we try to figure it out, when we try to do it in our own strength and see it from our perspective, our understanding, we're going to get very cynical and depressed in life. And so God says, I want you to trust me. Trust in the Lord. Look to Him for answers. So we're going to be in the book of Joshua for the next 2 months. We're going to look at the story of Joshua, and guess who the book of Joshua is about? It's really not a difficult question. It is about Joshua. It's about God, but it's about Joshua, not you, Josh, over there, a different Joshua. It's a Joshua from a long time ago. But this Joshua began very optimistically. And we're going to look at his life and see a little bit of the backstory before we get to Joshua chapter 6. And we have those verses on the screen behind us. And it really starts with Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. If you recall, God said he was going to deliver the Israelites from Egypt through a man named Moses. Moses goes in and says, "Let my people go, Pharaoh." And he says, "I'm not going to do it." 10 plagues come about. Eventually, the children of Israel are able to leave Egypt. They cross over the Red Sea through that incredible miracle. And they go to a land called Kadesh Barnea. At this place called Kadesh Barnea, they're looking down at the promised land, this land that God had promised to give to them. And Moses sends in 12 spies, 12 men from the 12 tribes to go in to say, figure out how we can take the promised land, because there were giants in the land. I mean, they had walled cities. These people were stronger than the Israelites. And how were they going to do it? Moses sent these men in to overtake the land. And these 12 spies come back and tell us how great the land really is. It's in Numbers chapter 13. In verse 27, it says, when they returned, it says, "Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit.'" They brought back fruit from it and said, "Look at this incredible harvest that's in this place. This is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. God was right. This is an incredible place." But 10 of them looked at this very pessimistically. "Nevertheless," is the next verse, "the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great." See, they didn't think they could take the land. God had promised it, but now the battle is before them. They said, "Yeah, it's a great place, nevertheless." You know, there's a lot of people like that, aren't they? You know, you counsel them, you talk to them, you try to encourage them, and they're saying, "Yeah, I know, but," right? "Nevertheless." Well, that might work for you. Nevertheless, it's not going to work for me. It might have worked at a certain period of time, but it's not going to work today. It might work over there, but it's not going to work here. Nevertheless. You see, there's giants in the land and there's walls that are hindering us from succeeding. We can't do it. That was 10 of the spies, but 2 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, had a different story. Verse 30 says this, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said," see, they were all stirred up. "Yeah, we can't do it, we can't do it." People like the negative voices, don't they? You know, you hear 10 positives and you hear 1 negative. What do you think about? 10 people say at church, "Man, I love that new outfit. I love that new outfit. I love that new outfit." And one person comes up and says, "Are you feeling sick today?" Which one are you going to focus on, right? And let me just say from experience, if enough people say, "Are you feeling sick?" you're going to start feeling sick. It's really not a good question to be asking. "Is everything okay? You know, just wanted to ask." Well, you feel terrible, you know, if a couple people start asking that question. So they listen to the negative. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once, for we are well able." We can do this thing. You see, Joshua and Caleb were optimistic. They believed that they could get the job done. They believed, they had seen God working in Egypt. They were 2 key leaders helping out Moses, and they were going to get to the promised land. They believed God. They had faith. But look at verse 31. "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able.'" And these guys are stronger than us. We can't do it. So they left Kadesh Barnea, and went into the wilderness for 40 years. God provided for them, but 40 years in the wilderness they roamed around. God said that all of the individuals. I better not walk on that side anymore. You see that? I think Pastor Steve set up a trap for me there. And Joy, you didn't like him saying, hey, put this on my funeral, right? I mean, thanks, Dad. I came to church to worship, and you're talking about dying today. I saw that on your face, right? When I die, I want the song. I forgot the name of it. What a Wonderful World. So write that down, Joy, okay? So that's, I love it. I see trees of green, red roses too. I know I'm off topic here, right? And he said, we can go in. But they end up in the wilderness for 40 years. All the older people die. The only two that are able to go into the land are Joshua and Caleb. So Moses is preparing the Israelites to go in. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is. Deuteronomy, the word means second law, like a duet, second. Deuteronomy, second law. It's a repetition of the law. Since all the people that had gone into the wilderness were dying off and weren't going to be able to go into the promised land, and it was just the children that were about to go in, Moses is reminding them what God had promised throughout Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. So it means second law. It's a reminder to the next generation about what God was going to do. So Moses, through God's authority, is telling Joshua and Caleb about how they can go into this promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, it says, when the Lord your God brings you. You see, it wasn't the Israelites that had the ability, it was God. I can do all things through Christ, right? When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. He says it again in verse 2. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. Ye shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Again, it's God that's going to deliver them. God had made the promise to the Israelites, and he is going to fulfill his promises. Though the nation of Israel had made a lot of mistakes, they complained throughout the wilderness, they wanted to do their own thing, they fought and criticized Moses at times and said, we just want to go back into slavery. We're tired of all this. We don't even know what God has for us. We think he's just going to kill us out here in the wilderness. And they were so upset, but God said, I'm going to deliver you. Then in chapter 9 of the book of Deuteronomy says this, Hear, O Israel. Thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great, and notice this, fenced up to heaven. You're going to go into the promised land, but there are walls. There are some difficult walls ahead. I've already promised that you're going to be victorious, but there will be walls. You meet with a young couple, you do premarital counseling, and their expectations are way up here, and you say, but you know what, there's going to be times you guys are going to fight, and they look at each other, and no, not us, you know. And you look, and you go over the budget, and you say, how are you going to make, I don't know, we're just going to live on love, right? We're going to be just fine, everything's going to be great. Sometimes they say, and we're going to have a girl first, and then we're going to have a boy, and think, you know what, you can't determine all those things. I mean, God has some part in that here. You can't determine if you're having a boy or a girl or when they're going to come about, and it may take a little longer than you'd like. They may come really quickly, but, you know, some things just happen in life, right? And you stand at the altar and say, for better, for worse, and we're thinking the better, and we're not really putting a whole lot of time into the worse at times. And then people come for marriage counseling, and though they were scooting their chairs up really close to each other, now they don't mind it being a little further away because there's been walls, brick by brick, have been building up. What they expected would happen in, in their parenting maybe just didn't quite come about. What they thought was going to happen in their military career just didn't happen, or maybe in their civilian career or retirement or their health issues or whatever the walls are in life. And God said, there's going to be some battles, but I will deliver you over those fenced up walls that reach up to heaven. And if you read through all of Deuteronomy 9, the first five verses, God says this, and I want you to know, Israel, I'm not going to deliver you because you're so godly, because you're so righteous, because you're such a wonderful nation. The reality is you're a small nation, and you complain all the time, and really you're just not that good. But I mean, if you read all Deuteronomy 9 there, it's what he says. But here's why I'm going to deliver you. Verse 5 says this, not for thy righteousness or for the unrighteousness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of the nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And then notice this, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we'll probably talk more about that next week. God says to Moses here, I want you to tell the children of Israel, you're going to go in, you're going to succeed, not because of your greatness. You see, we don't win the spiritual battles because we are so good, but only because he's so good. And he says, the reason you're going to overcome is because of the promises. Remember, it's called the Promised Land. Why is it called the Promised Land? Because God promised that land to the nation of Israel. And he said, the reason you're going to go in and conquer is because of what I have already said. And I said it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I said it to your forefathers, and I'm going to bring it to pass in your life. So Moses does something here. Moses isn't allowed to enter the Promised Land. He gets to look over on the other side of Jordan and see the Promised Land. But God says, you're not going to go in. And so I want you to transition your leadership to Joshua. You remember Joshua? That real optimistic guy, that guy that was real excited. He said, we can do it. He and Caleb believed God's promises, and they were going to go into the land. But this is 40 years later. And after 40 years, you know, have you seen older people and they tend to not be as patient as they were when they were younger sometimes? Now, I don't understand it, but now that I'm getting older, when I had young kids, there was no problem. But, you know, when I'm around younger kids, sometimes for years I'd work in children's church, and the older I get, the less I want to work in children's church. I mean, and I love them. I mean, because they eat it up, man. They listen to the message. I mean, when I'm preaching to them, I mean, they are intent looking, and sometimes a little bit more than what adults do. You know, I mean, they're really into it and stuff. I love it, but I tell you, they wear me out, and the older I get, and so Joshua is getting older. He has seen a whole lot of things. I mean, he was ready to go in. Why didn't Joshua go into the promise? It wasn't because of him. It was because of everybody around. And can't you imagine he got a little more pessimistic? The optimism that he carried was not so much there anymore. You see, he hit the wall. And the reality is, maybe it's with your health, your finances, your career, your marriage, your children, an addiction you're dealing with, a spiritual battle that's in your life, whatever that wall is in your life. And we just think, I don't think I can overcome it. I don't know if I can get beyond it. I don't think things are going to get better. And so God has a message for Joshua here. Look at Deuteronomy 31:7. I have it on the screen here. And Moses called unto Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. And look at verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Four words he gives to Joshua. The first is to be strong. I want you to have strength. Yeah, you've seen a lot over the years. Physically, maybe you're not as strong, but I want you to be strong. Emotionally, strong. I want you to have courage. Because Joshua had been discouraged. And he said, I want you to have courage now. He said, fear not in verse 8. I don't want you to fear. Because as you have experiences in life, do you really want to trust again? Do you really want to hope again? Do you want to really take another chance? Is it really worth it? You try and you get criticized, you try and you get criticized, you try and you get criticized, you try and you fail, you try and you fail. That goes on long enough and you say, do I even want to try anymore? And he said, fear not, neither be dismayed. I knew that word kind of meant discouraged, but I wasn't exactly sure what the word meant, so I looked it up, and it means to be disappointed, to be disillusioned, to lose heart, tired of trying. Joshua, I know you're tired of trying, but because of the promises I made you, I want you to give it another chance. Now, the reality is there's some issues in our life that God didn't promise that he was going to remove, right? I mean, you can't say, I'm just going to claim that God's going to remove. If he didn't promise he's going to remove it, that's not necessarily going to happen. But if God promised that he's going to change it, then don't be dismayed. You see, life can cause us to be dismayed, right? You feel tired of trying. They won't communicate anyway. They're not going to come to church. They're not going to get saved. They're not going to change. Circumstances aren't getting any better. You know, the reality is life probably is not what you expected. But the way we shrink walls is by focusing on God's power and not our problems. So Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Don't fear, neither be dismayed. Moses is off the scene, and we come to Joshua chapter 1. And here's how the book of Joshua begins. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them. Remember, it's God's job. It's his promise. And then he says this in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He's just reminding him what Moses had told him earlier. And then he says this in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. You get the point here? Yeah. He's got to keep reminding, be strong and of good courage. What are those walls in your life? What are those trials? What are the problems? What are the circumstances? Those situations, God says, I want you to be strong and of good courage. I made a promise to Moses and I made a promise to Israel. So in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Joshua, it's time to go in. For 40 years, you couldn't go in, not because of your own choosing, because you were ready. But you went through that wilderness and saw time and time again all the problems, but you also saw God's power. Now I want you to be strong. I want you to restart. I know you're tired of trying. You know, you hit your head up against the wall long enough and you say, man, I think I've had enough. And God says, I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to quit trying. I want you to keep going on. I want you to keep pressing on. Yeah, the Christian life isn't easy. Marriage isn't easy. Family isn't easy. Relationships are not easy. I understand, you know, health issues, financial issues, career issues, spiritual issues, whatever the case might be. Life is not quite what it expected, but be strong. God is wanting us to change our outlook for the right outcome and stop being overwhelmed so we can overcome. Today is a new day to stop focusing on our problems and start focusing on God's power. And how do we do it? Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." When he said, be strong and courageous, guess what the next thing he said? Get into God's word. That's what you need. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. And if you'll do that, he said, you'll have success. So here's what I'm asking you to do during this series. I don't know what God wants to do in your life, but I know God wants to work in every one of our lives. And if we can begin this first spiritual discipline and carry out over the next 7 weeks, I believe God can do some amazing things. But here's what I'm asking you to do. First of all, make sure that you pick up a copy of the Walls Fall Down book. From now to Wednesday, if you would read chapter 1, you can read through the introduction, just kind of get through that and read chapter 1 as it talks about shrinking the walls. Then join us on Wednesday. When we conclude the service, we're going to have the teachers to stand up, and we're going to have many different classes. We're going to have young adult class, senior adult class, mixed classes, men's classes, ladies' classes, marriage class. We're going to have all kinds of different classes for you. And while our kids have the nursery and Awana, and our teens have, I forgot our series, the Gospel Project, while they're being ministered to, you have a great opportunity to be ministered to. But you know what? If you don't come, you're not going to be blessed. This book of the law shall not depart. I know you're busy. I know there's so much, but it's God's word that can change us. So join us on Wednesday. And then over the next 6 weeks, make sure that you return. And if you will, I said I wasn't going to that side anymore, didn't I? If you will read that book, join us on Wednesdays, join us on Sundays. Can you imagine what God can do in our midst? This book of the law, we meditate day and night. That's where you get success. It's not through anything I say. It's not through the author Dudley has to say, but it's God's word, getting into God's word, letting God change you. Would you, over the next 7 weeks, just say, I'm going to make a slight transition. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to read through this book. I'm going to join a small group on Wednesdays and let God speak to our life. We'll also have on a special night those that are in Awana so they can be in a small group as well and to let God speak to us and do a great work in our life. And then notice, I asked you to turn to Joshua chapter 6. Look at verse 1. We're going to cover this more over the next several weeks, but look at verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up. And so what I learned from that, it's okay to say shut up because it's in the Bible, all right? No, that's that's not true, all right? But Jericho was closed up, right? Notice what happened. Because of the children of Israel, none went out, none came in. I mean, these people were scared. They had closed the walls down. Nobody could get out. They had seen the children of Israel around, and they said, we've heard about these people. But these were big walls. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, here's a change of perspective. I want you to see something. Stop looking with your physical eyes and start seeing with a spiritual vision. See through eyes of faith. See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho. What did he say? The walls are going to fall down. What are those walls in your life? See, I have given it. Look to my power and my strength. Stop looking at the walls. When I look at my problems and I look at myself, my problems seem really big. When I look at my problems and I compare them to God, my problems are not so big anymore. That's why Philippians tells us that I can do all things through Christ. That's why Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let's just bow for just a moment. As we prepare for this time of invitation, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. There's a couple things I'm asking you to do. First, set aside the negative, the cynical, the doubt, the bitterness, or whatever those walls are. Just leave it at this altar today. Maybe it's because you've seen these events in life and difficulties. You're experiencing some really problems. It's easy to get bitter, isn't it? Just set it aside. Secondly, offer yourself to God. God, I'm available. Give Him your problems and trust in His provision. You hit the wall today? Let God start tearing those walls down and changing us. Dear Father, here we are. May you intercede and speak in our life. In Jesus' name. Let's just stand. If you want to just bow your head and talk to God or come down to this altar.